We're just a day away from December and the thick of the holiday season, and you might already be gearing up for gift shopping trips at department stores like Macy's or JCPenney. But behind the decorations and that holiday cheer at your favorite retail stores are ongoing questions about the employees who work there. From the irregular hours to low wages, retail jobs are often considered less than desirable.
In the past, some employees in the service sector, even the food industry, have looked toward unions to help improve their pay, benefits, and working conditions. The retail industry showed some involvement in recent strikes for a $15 minimum wage. But despite having frustrated workers, the industry has often had low union membership compared to some other sectors. Our next guest wrote a book that explores an industry that almost all of us have some connection with and also looks at what the future might be for its employees looking for changes.
Peter Eichler joins us now. He's an assistant professor of sociology at State University of New York College at Old Westbury. And his new book is called Hard Sell, Work and Resistance in Retail Chains. Peter, welcome to Central Time.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Well, Peter, you write that retail is well known as a bad job in 21st century America. What is it that makes retail a bad job, do you think?
Well, there's a lot of factors that can go into what people will determine as a good job or a bad job. Some of them more objective, some of them more subjective. But I would say one of the defining features of retail in America today is that its average wages are way below the private sector mean. They're only about 63% currently. And it has a much higher level of part-time work, involuntary especially, as well as fluctuating schedules, which can wreak real havoc on workers' personal lives, family lives, and attempts in many cases to hold second jobs, which is needed based on a low income. And so those factors together contribute to making the retail sector sort of, although there are some good jobs in it, overwhelmingly a negative area for employment for a lot of folks.
And you wanted to find out what was going on in this retail sector, why it wasn't an easier sell to get unions involved here and get the employees on board with looking at unions as a tool to improve working conditions. You looked specifically at Macy's and Target and Walmart. Why did you choose those stores?
Well, I looked directly mainly at Macy's and Target, although obviously with a lot of reference to Walmart because that's the biggest firm in the country that we all know so much about as a retailer. But I focus on Macy's and Target specifically because Macy's is indicative of the sort of old-school, traditional department store that maybe we're familiar with from images or nostalgia we have from the 50s or 60s, but is the dominant traditional retailer today. And Target is the sort of second tier after Walmart, largest discounter across the country. It represents sort of the new wave of scaled-down retail with scaled-down benefits for workers, but also it's now slowly being displaced to a certain extent by the online retailers, Amazon first and foremost, but other ones as well.
And one of the things you did was you tried to get the lay of the land. You talked to employees about what it was like to work there, what the management style was like, what the hours was like, how they were doing on pay, and what did people tell you?
People told me a lot of things. I mean, I was actually shocked at just the degree of openness that a lot of these workers had to talk to them. I was a grad student at the time. I was nobody to them. New York is a busy place. People have a lot of things going on in their lives. But, you know, 75 people spent time, you know, were able to take an hour, sit down with me in a coffee shop, in a park, in a place that they felt comfortable with, and just explain to me the day-to-day details of their working lives and how they felt about their coworkers, their managers, and society at large. And the things that they told me, that what I tried to piece together out of, you know, the varying views and experiences that workers had, was that if you look at the two stores, the two models, traditional and discount retail, we can definitely see a trend towards de-skilling between them.
And what do you mean by de-skilling?
De-skilling. So employers historically in the manufacturing sector, as we know, have taken what used to be craft work, you know, which is relatively skilled with the workers, were trained, knew what they had to do, controlled their own pace of work, et cetera, and they put that under increasingly more control, meaning they separated out the labor process, little bits and little pieces, having many workers do little segmented parts with less autonomy to do them. And that's fairly well established for, you know, auto manufacturing, steel, textiles, et cetera. What I argue is that a very similar process is taking place in the retail sector today. And its ultimate sort of end goal would ultimately be full automation, which we're already seeing in the online model.
And besides the de-skilling, what did they say about how much money they were making, whether they were able to get by, and I guess if they thought that these were good jobs that they could make a living on?
Not much, yeah. Most people didn't make much money. The average wages at the Macy's stores I looked at were in the neighborhood of about 11.50 per hour, and a Target a bit lower, about 10.50 per hour, which is really not much at all in New York City, where most living wage estimates require you, if you have a family of four, to make at least $22 an hour. So we're talking about folks who are, many of them are young, in college, although not all of them, who are making very little money, not enough to live on, and are sort of planning for other things. You know, they see it as a stepping stone. This is just something I'm doing while I'm in college. I'm going to move on to something else. But there's a large number of folks, including those I spoke to, for whom that's it. You know, they don't have a college degree. They don't have some other connection to the labor market, training or credential, and they have to make ends meet on that. And it's really, really difficult for a lot of people. And they search around for benefits. There are benefits offered at the two firms, but they're often far too expensive in terms of health care for workers to actually afford. So it's putting workers in a really tough spot, and that's sort of the inroad that I explore to why we need and how we could actually go about getting unionization in a broader sense.
So your sense then, hearing all this, is that these are places, stores maybe like Macy's and Target, but lots of other retail establishments too. These are places that should be sort of ripe for unions to come in and organize. But at the end of the day, that's not what you saw. You saw, in fact, that that was the opposite. How come?
Well, I mean, the opposite is just sort of, we already know that at the outset, right? We know that retail is less than 5% unionized today. It's basically negligible in the sector. And a lot of workers I spoke to were actually open to unionization, were curious about it, were interested in it. A lot of the younger workers simply didn't know what it was. I had to actually explain several times, I was like, so how do you feel about unions? How do you feel about worker organization? And a lot of them, the younger workers especially, under 30, didn't actually know what I meant, had never had any experience with unions. What some people mistakenly thought that Target did have a union because they thought it meant something other than what it is. So I think there's a potential openness there, but there's huge both objective and subjective hurdles. So it's really hard to, if you put a strike at one store, it's one store, especially in these chain retailers, that have many of the locations, you're at the end of a supply chain. So you don't have a lot of power there as a worker to pull a strike action to, you know, push for recognition of a union. On the other hand, too, we have these subjective hurdles like that, like I mentioned. Folks, just a whole generation that has not seen, you know, what unions can do when they're robust and when they're moving forward rather than when they're just on the defensive, which unfortunately is, you know, has been the case in Wisconsin, I know, since at least 2011, possibly earlier.
We're talking with Peter Eichler right now, assistant professor of sociology and the author of the book Hard Sell, Work and Resistance in Retail Chains. And we're looking at the low levels of unionization in retail work, despite what our guest sees as complaints of low wages and more within that industry.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you work in one of these retail stores? Have you worked in them in the past? What was it like? Did you see it as a bad job, or did you see an upside? Did you work for a retailer, maybe one we haven't talked about, that you think does things better or maybe worse? Do you manage in retail or own a retail business? Love to hear your perspective as well. And are unions needed in retail stores? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll pick up our conversation in just a little bit here on Central Time.
This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert, and we're continuing our conversation with Peter Eichler, assistant professor of sociology and the author of the book Hard Sell, Work and Resistance in Retail Chains. And we're talking about the retail industry in this holiday shopping season. Our guest says that's an industry where employees are paid less than in other sectors, but there are still low rates of union membership.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. If you work or have ever worked in the retail sector, we'd love to hear from you. Tell us about the ups and downs of the job. If you've been in it for a while, how has it changed over the years? And would you join a retail union if given the opportunity? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And Peter, we'll get to our calls in just a moment, but I want to ask you, there is a sense that unions at this particular point in history are in decline. I mean, Wisconsin is a case in that point. And is it possible that people in other industries like the retail industry may see that and say, you know, this is not something I want to be involved in. They're not effective and they may be on the way out.
Well, I mean, that's a great question. I appreciate it. I would say that, you know, the objective situation, and we saw this with the really surprise election of Donald Trump back in November, which I think most of us are still sort of trying to digest and make sense of. One of the explanations that has come out of that is that the persistent low level of well-being, stagnation in wages, stagnation in living standards for a large sector of working people in America. And that's not going away. That's been a rather common development and deepening development in the past 30 or 40 years, a period that a lot of people call neoliberalism, globalization, et cetera. So the objective factors that are pushing people to need something different, to try and challenge the existing workplace regimes that they face, be they in retail or elsewhere, one of the answers that workers will end up coming to sooner or later is the idea of collective organization and collective bargaining in some fashion. But I agree, there's been a lot of negative press about unions. There's been a lot of actually negative developments with unions being pushed back, not only in Wisconsin, but also in Michigan, which went right to work. And then just the general slow, steady decline of unionization rates across the country, which has been in action since at least the 70s. So there's definitely objective hurdles there, and there's a layer of folks who might be looking and hearing the news and saying, unions are being pushed back, why would I want to join one? But then the next day, they get up and they go to work, and they're not making the wages that can pay rent at the end of the day, or can afford enough food, and they're constantly scraping by, or they're having to deal with petty indignities at work, you know, being yelled at by a manager or having their daily rhythms micromanaged. All of these things generate dissatisfaction, and I found that among a lot of the workers that I spoke to. And one of the positive aspects, in addition to the developing nature of the Fight for 15 movement, which just had a large demonstration and a couple of walkouts in key places across the country just yesterday, one of the key rooms for hope is that some of the new firms, like Target, relatively new firms, are creating processes that engender solidarity among workers. They collectivize the work process. They use a team-based sales metric instead of a competitive one, like at Macy's and some other firms. And this actually, among the workers I spoke to, generates a sense of we are together, we can work together, which I think could be a key inroad to building unions in the future in some of these low-wage industries.
Let's get to our callers now. We've got Rachel with us first in Eau Claire. Rachel, hi.
Hi. Yes, I was just calling in to make a comment about the discussion about Macy's.
Mm-hmm.
I'm from Eau Claire, and I currently work now in my professional career. But when I was in college, I did work at Macy's, and one of the things that I noticed when working there was the things that I believe were built on the historical union from the Macy's in New York. There were things built into the company that we benefited from, even though we didn't have a direct union here. They very strictly adhered to the break schedule and laws and the vacation time, even for part-time employees as well as full-time employees. Vacation and sick time was quite good when I worked there in college, even more so, better than my first professional job out of college. The benefits of vacation and sick time was actually better.
Rachel, thanks for those thoughts. Interesting. What do you think about what she said, Peter, that she worked at Macy's a while ago, but that some of the work that the unions may have done on a different scale elsewhere, things like taking break times very seriously and vacation and sick time, were still there as part of the culture?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. So two of the three Macy's stores I studied were unionized. We're in New York. Right, so they were actually the original, one of them was the original location where some of the first unions were built in retail, specifically at Macy's in the 1930s and 40s. And that's absolutely true. I mean, I found also at the non-union Macy's that I studied that there were sort of knock-on effects. Because the firm is aware. The firm knows that there is about 10% of its national workforce is unionized, not only in Europe, but also in other parts of the country, Seattle, San Francisco, and a few other spots, is aware that other workers who are in these non-unionized parts of their firm might get the idea when they see union workers doing better that they want the same thing. So there are positive knock-on effects within that particular firm. That's absolutely true. What I found at the Macy's that I studied was that although they've been unable or they've been pushed back significantly in terms of making wage gains for workers since the 90s at least, what they had definitely achieved was a lot greater security for workers. There was a whole sort of legalistic process. But even if managers wanted to dismiss somebody, they had to have due process. They had to have a paper trail. It took a while. Whereas Target, everyone was pretty much at will. Right? If you know, got on a manager's bad side one day or made one mistake, you could easily be let go with no further appeal process open to you.
Rachel, thank you so much for that call. And we're going to go next to Sam in Madison. Hi, Sam.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I actually have the opposite experience of your last caller. I am recently fresh out of the retail. I actually worked in a mall at a toy store. I do miss certain aspects of it because I'm a pretty social person. But I definitely left because of all of the things that your guest was mentioning that lack from a union, the micromanaging, the shortening of breaks, the lack of accountability. It was kind of like anything goes unless you really make somebody upset. And I don't know if that's particular just to working in malls. I haven't had retail experience outside of a mall.
All right. And Sam, you're saying that this was a benefit. If there were a union there, you would have been for it.
Yeah, I would definitely think I would still be there if there was room to grow and some of those issues were resolved.
All right, Sam, thank you so much for that. And Peter, briefly, what would you say to what Sam went through?
Well, I would just definitely thank you, Sam, for contributing your experience to this discussion. I'd say that it taps into, you know, a conundrum that we're facing, that some of these jobs that have been made into bad jobs, like in retail or fast food in America, they don't have to be that way. We could imagine other scenarios in which these are, you know, respected, qualified, well-skilled jobs. Workers are given the environment and the support that they need to do the jobs well. The customers would benefit. The firms might lose a little bit of their profits, but overall, I think the societal-wide benefit and that, especially to the workers, would be huge. And that's been achieved in other parts of the world, the developed capitalist world. Sorry, my daughter just interrupted. One second, Elizabeth. If we look in other parts of the world, like in Germany or in Denmark or in parts of Northern Europe, where there are unions in retail stores, they've achieved living wages for workers, serious benefits, and a better work environment altogether.
Peter, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
That was Peter Eichler and I think one of his children, assistant professor of sociology at State University of New York College at Old Westbury and author of the book Hard Sell, Work and Resistance in Retail Chains.
Still time to share your story. If you've worked in retail, if you do work in retail, the high points, the low points, what can make it, as he was saying at the end there, a better job for you? That's the Central Time Facebook page.
I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Farah. This is Central Time here on the Ideas Network.